11. Isaac. Isaac paced across the living area of the small apartment, walking from the door to the bedroom to the window and back again. He was restless and frustrated, tired of waiting for something to happen. When General Hyrie had turned on him and summoned the guards, he thought he would wind up in a prison cell somewhere and solitary confinement. And he did. For the first 24 hours, he'd been stuck in a cement box with nothing to do but stare at the ceiling. Hyrie had come back after that and asked him a second time if he would join the Centurion Space Force as a spy. He said no a second time. He wasn't going to turn on Hayden or Earth. Sheriff Duke had given him somewhere to belong, and Earth was his home. It would always be his home. His wife and children had lived there. And died there. The Trife invasion had changed the entire planet so quickly. First, the virus wiped out billions, and then the aliens went to work on the rest. That was only the first part of the story, because the real war didn't start and end with the Xena Trife. The invasion had yet to truly begin. The Relia had conquered hundreds of civilizations across thousands of light years, but they didn't eliminate their enemies. They absorbed them, using a portion of the population as food, a portion as soldiers, and a portion to enhance their genetic library. They were powerful, numerous, and maybe most importantly, patient. They were willing to bide their time to finish capturing a world. They were willing to sit and wait while their first line of attack did 90% of the damage. Trife were the perfect weapon. They multiplied faster than the military could kill them, relying on radiation as their food. Most times, that meant power stations, generators. The very thing advanced human civilization relied on to remain an advanced civilization. But it would never be enough to drop a massive EMP on the planet. The Earth's core produced enough heat to fuel the aliens. All they had to do was dig deep enough. Isaac was there in the beginning when the unexpected asteroid storm rained down on the planet and left a powder of debris across so much of the surface. The scientists called it a one-in-a-trillion event. A lot of them believed it was accidental, a random act of space. Even as the virus started killing millions and the world began to panic, nobody thought it was an act of aggression. Even when the first Trife emerged from the dust and began their killing, only the conspiracy theorists thought of it as an act of war. His survival was a matter of circumstance, of luck, though he wasn't sure if it was good or bad. The brain tumor had made him accidentally valuable to the Relia because it also made him resistant to the best defense of the only race that had so far maintained a resistance against the hunger. Solve the riddle of his resistance, break the stalemate. At least that was the plan. Only the Relia never found out his protection was based on a fatal flaw, one that couldn't be reproduced without also being fatal. He was an anomaly, a disease. But he had been preserved because of it, thrown in stasis to wait until the hunger was ready to use him, because they were patient above all. That patience seemed to be at an end, and Isaac could guess why. The Axon were thousands of years more advanced than humankind. They had technology he could barely believe, and they were holding the hunger back, slowing their advance across the galaxy and fighting their domination. They were the fly in the ointment, the wrench in the gears of conquest. Their soldiers were machines, self-replicating, artificially intelligent machines with a host of offensive and defensive tactics that made a single one of them more powerful than a million Trife. They shared a common enemy and should have been the perfect allies. But humans were like mice to the Axon, primitive creatures that scurried back and forth with no real purpose save to reproduce. There was no benefit for them to align themselves with a race on the brink of destruction. There was nothing for them to gain. Earth sat in the middle of two warring factions, left to fend for itself and somehow find a way to keep going against impossible odds. Odds that were going to get worse. It was only a matter of time. Every resource counted. Every asset helped. Sheriff Duke had managed to convince a single Axon intellect that maybe the two races could help one another. It was the best chance humankind would ever have to avoid the fate that had befallen hundreds of other intelligences. And General Hyrie had rejected it as bullshit. Isaac threw a fist into the padded back of his couch in frustration. When Sheriff Duke had sent him to Proxima with Rico, it was with a mind that the general would be willing to listen to reason. It was with the understanding that Hyrie was also part of the Trust, and the belief that the Trust wasn't merely a crime syndicate, but a secret line of defense against whichever enemy posed the most significant threat. It turned out Hayden was wrong. Proxima's ongoing belief that Earth wasn't worth saving permeated deeper into their psyche than he'd expected. While Rico, a clone of all things, was on board with the notion that the survivors back home were worth saving, the general had made it clear he didn't agree. And now Isaac was stuck here. Waiting. For what? He didn't know why Hyrie hadn't left him in the brig in solitary confinement. Why had he been transferred here? He was still a prisoner. There were armed guards outside his door around the clock. So what was the point? To give him a soft couch to sit on? A comfortable bed to sleep in? To what end? He didn't need any of that. He was a Marine. Comfort was nice, but it was ultimately bullshit. He wanted action. Direction. If Hyrie wouldn't accept the truth, if he wanted Sheriff Duke dead, then he didn't need Isaac. Why not just kill him already? There had to be more to the story. Something happening in the background. A reason he was still alive. Did they want more information from him? If that were true, why hadn't anyone come to question him? Why was he stuck here, endlessly pacing? He couldn't believe they had saved his life for this. Isaac gave up the line of thinking, moving to the front of the couch and collapsing on it. Maybe this was some kind of modern-day torture. He closed his eyes and thought of Amanda, piecing together his memories of the simplest things that had made him love her. The way she laughed at his jokes, her devotion to the kids, how beautiful she looked in sweatpants with her hair wildly bound up on top of her head, her kindness and compassion for others. He missed her. He missed them all. He started to doze off. A loud thump against the door and his eyes snapped open. He heard another thump, and then a third, making the wall of his apartment shake. What the hell? He quickly scanned the room, looking for something to use as a weapon. There was nothing. He gave up the idea, crossing the room to the front door, which was kept locked from the outside. Miles? He shouted. He had spent some time chatting with the guards through the door because what else was there to do? Paula? Something hit the door hard, causing him to jump back into a defensive crouch. Isaac moved laterally, getting in position to attack whoever came through. Someone broke the door in, hitting it so hard it collapsed back onto the apartment floor. A woman in a black bodysuit rushed in, leading with some kind of pistol with a thick barrel. Isaac spotted three more similarly armed people behind her. He lunged at her, slamming his hand down on her extended gun hand, trying to knock the weapon from her grip. She absorbed the blow, pivoting gracefully and grabbing his arm as he threw his weight against her. She kept turning with it, lifting him and throwing him over her shoulder onto the floor. The landing knocked the air out of him. How was she so strong? He didn't hesitate, rolling over to get back up. She kicked him in the stomach, straining his ribs and knocking him onto his side. Time to die, the woman said, pointing her pistol at him. Isaac stared up at her. He had been waiting for something to happen. This wasn't exactly what he'd had in mind,